The Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.
Okay, so welcome to episode 24 of the Women's Football Podcast. After a short break, we are back. And as I have been away for a little while, I thought I should get a very special guest along to help me out present this episode. And I'm delighted. Actually, do you know what? I'm honoured to have Notts County Ladies and England striker Ellen White joining me. Ellen, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Thank you for joining me. It's a pleasure to have you. You're in good company with some of the presenters that we've had, Kelly Smith being one and Helen Ward being another. So hopefully you will enjoy it as much as they did. Although how much they enjoyed it, I'm not too sure. So on this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about the WSL and the Continental Cup. And of course, we'll be talking about Ellen's Notts County ladies side. We're going to have a little chat about the Women's World Cup under 20 squad that Mo Marley has announced. Obviously, she announced her 21 player squad. And with that, I have an interview with Nikita Paris and former under 20 captain Michelle Hinnigan. We also have an interview with Katie Hoyle, obviously the New Zealand international who plays alongside Ellen. We have our usual roundups from Europe and the NWSL. And we also have an interview with former Premier League defender Julian Dix, who has just taken over at West Ham Ladies. And anything else that I may have missed in this intro, we will cover off as we go along. So let's get cracking.
The Women's Football Podcast would like to thank our partners. Want more women's football? Subscribe to She Kicks magazine at shekicks.net. And the Women's Football Podcast is part of the Soccer Desk Network.
TheSoccerDesk.com. Okay, so first topic on the agenda is, of course, the FAWSL and the Continental Cup. We are just coming back from a very short break after the four league games that we had before the interval. Now, Notts County Ladies haven't played a league game since we came back, but they have played in the Continental Cup and they are undefeated in that competition with three wins and a draw. Ellen, I know that you haven't been able to play, and I guess the first question I should really ask you is, how is the recovery going and when are we going to see you back?
Hopefully soon. The recovery is going really well, actually. It was a little bit slow to start with, having to have kind of a second operation. But since I've had that kind of 5 weeks ago, I definitely feel like a progression. My rehab's coming along nicely. I'm doing a lot more exercises. I feel like my knee's getting better. So I'm not going to get ahead of myself or anything like that. So I've just got to be patient and diligent. But definitely, I feel like there's a lot of progression happening now.
The team's doing well without you. I mean, it would be no doubt doing better with you, but it's not doing too badly regardless. I mean, you must be quite pleased from the sidelines watching that the team is doing so well.
Yeah, definitely. I think anything, I'm feeling proud, to be honest. They're an amazing bunch of girls, and throughout pre-season I saw for myself how hard everyone worked, in particular kind of Jess. She really put her head down, worked hard on her finishing, and that's proven at the moment. She's scoring a lot of goals and an amazing finish against Birmingham in the Continental Cup at the weekend. But the girls have been working really hard. We didn't put a lot of pressure on ourselves at the beginning. We kind of just kept our heads down, plugged away, worked hard, and the results have been coming. So I'm really pleased for them.
Would it be unfair for me to say that Jess has perhaps been one of the surprise players of the season? She's obviously got talent, she's got England caps, and she's playing in an unfamiliar role this season in a way, though, isn't she? She's kind of filled the number nine slot that you would have been playing, but she's really taken to it, hasn't she? And really is spearheading that attack.
Yeah, she wasn't really talking to me much, saying that she didn't like me because she had to play the number nine. But she's definitely been a standout performer. And the amount of hard work she put in, she when she wasn't kind of picked for England, kind of Mark said she wasn't scoring enough goals, so she really put her head down, worked hard on it, and it's definitely showing now. All that hard work that she put in pre-season is coming out on the pitch, so I'm really proud of her, and she's doing all right at number nine, but I need to get that shirt back now.
And you mentioned the win over Birmingham at the weekend. They're obviously going really well, so that was an impressive result, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I've seen Birmingham a couple of times now, and they've been really impressive. They're similar to to Notts County in terms of a very hard working team, great team ethics. They've got some great players. Kirsty Lynette, she wasn't playing against us, but she's been kind of an outstanding performer this season. Kaz Carney, Joe Potter, their midfield's amazing. So, for us to come out with a win was really pleasing, and we had some great finishes. We did have to grind it out at times. It was difficult, but I think we can take a lot of confidence from that game going forward now.
And after a bit of a sticky start, Arsenal ladies are starting to pick up some wins as well. They obviously had an impressive 3-0 victory over Chelsea at the weekend. I guess for you, there was no surprise that they were going to start picking up wins, is there?
No, not at all, really. I think it was difficult. Obviously, they were going through a big transition. A lot of players left, including myself. So it was definitely going to be difficult for them come the start of the season. But they're definitely growing. They've obviously trained a lot more together, and they've had that chance to bond and gel. So, they're definitely picking up some more points now. And the fact that Jordan Nobbs is back playing is a massive boost for them.
You mentioned you were one of the players, Sleeve. I hope you don't mind me sort of jumping in there. You've probably been asked a million times, but I mean, was there an underlying reason why you decided to leave what is arguably the biggest club in England and one of the most successful, if not the most successful, to kind of take on the new project that Notts County Ladies FC were offering you?
Yeah, no, it was a massive decision, to be honest. I cried for a good few days when I did make that decision. I spoke about it with my fiance, my family, pros and cons. But the chance to be a professional footballer was something that I couldn't turn down. Working with Rick Passmore again was a massive pull for me. And obviously, like you say, Arsenal's such a massive club. I've kind of grew up with them. I was there when I was 8 in their centre of excellence. I've won amazing trophies with them. I've had fantastic memories. But the last season, I wasn't really enjoying it. And I wanted to go back to enjoying playing football and to be kind of playing every day and to be a professional kind of footballer was a dream come true. And I couldn't turn that down, really.
It's up to you whether you answer this one. You said you weren't enjoying your last year at Arsenal. Was there a particular reason for that?
No, I don't think there's a particular reason. I think it was a hard season for us. There's a lot of pressure on us. And I think it was just a difficult season. And sometimes you kind of don't enjoy playing football. And I wanted to go back to enjoying it and just to love it and maybe something different, a different challenge. And that's what Notts County brought for me.
Sophie Walton, Carly Telford, Katie Holton. There's a few others as well. It's like a mini Leeds, isn't it, Notts County?
It is a little bit. That's what a lot of people have said to me. Yeah, no, definitely. When I initially kind of signed, it was only kind of Jess and Sophie Bradley. So, he's brought in some great players. And, it's nice to be playing with players that I know. But, yeah, it is a little bit like a Leeds reunion at the same time.
I've digressed a little bit. Obviously, we were talking about the Continental Cup. Obviously, Notts County going well. I think you probably just need a point, or maybe a win will definitely do it against Yeovil, which is coming up this weekend, and people may be listening to this after the game has taken place. So not my fault if you're listening to this late. But obviously, that's a good sign for Notts County in your first season, and obviously going well in the league as well. But obviously, we were talking about, before we came onto the recording, about another group in the Continental Cup, and it looks like Reading Women might be out of the competition after fielding an ineligible player. Now, obviously, at Arsenal, you had a similar situation with Katie Chapman last year. I mean, what will Reading be feeling now if indeed they have been kicked out of the competition?
I think a lot of disappointment. That's what we felt. We didn't blame anyone, but we were just really disappointed that something like that could happen at Arsenal, and kind of that mistake can happen, really. So that kind of cost us a league, really, at Arsenal, which was really, really horrible to hear and to feel. So, I think it would be really disappointing. They were doing really well in the Continental Cup. The fact that they'd beaten Arsenal as well was a massive result, and they could have been kind of best runners-up at some point as well. So, I think it's just disappointing and hard to see, really.
We're recording this just as the announcement's been made today, so we're not too sure what the final outcome is, hence our sort of unknown sort of opinion on it at the moment. But we've obviously digressed away from Conti Cup to Notts County, back to Conti Cup, and I'm going to go back to Notts County because our first interview is going to be with Ellen's teammate Katie Hoyle, who obviously joined the club from the W League in Australia, and Katie spoke about her time at Notts County Ladies in the first half of the season and how she's getting on with New Zealand.
Here with Kiwi international and Notts County midfielder Katie Hoyle. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
Welcome to my house.
Thank you.
You didn't do very well in the computer game.
I know. It's been a while, right?
You need to stay longer to get better.
It's been a few years.
So how have you found your first, well, it's funny to say first half of the season. Mm. You've actually played four games and some Continental Cup. How is your first part of the season been?
Yeah, it's been really good so far. I've enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And so, I mean, that's good.
Why is that?
I really like the team, great bunch of girls, and it's just cool to be around them. You know, we're training all the time and always around them, and so it's a lot of fun. And Nottingham's a great little town that I've been enjoying, and so, yeah, it's cool so far.
Have you found the best coffee shop in Nottingham?
I have found the best coffee shop.
Which is?
Wired Cafe Bar.
Right. Do you have your own personal loyalty card there now?
I do. Well, we get stamped. But now I just walk in and just go sit down. They know what I order, so it's really good.
You must admit, it's a pretty strong culture in the footballing world, women's footballing world, the whole coffee culture, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. We've got to do something in our downtime, so why not go grab a coffee with a couple of other teammates and just chill out, free Wi-Fi and yeah. Read a book, whatever.
Is that how you're now basing your decision on where to play based on what the coffee is like there? Because you were in Melbourne before with the Melbourne Victory. Yeah. Surely that was pretty good.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to live up to Melbourne's standards. That's why I'm really happy with the Wired Cafe Bar that I've found. Well, you never know. I'll see what my options are. But so far, I tell you what, I won't be going anywhere for the coffee at the Wired Bar.
Nice one. So you spoke about the team atmosphere and it just being a great bunch of girls. Notts County have changed. They were Lincoln last mm-hmm. year. It was a big change for them. I guess, what have you heard has been the difference this season compared to last season with the squad and with the club as a whole?
I think it just makes a difference where when you have kind of, we've got, you know, the full-time coach, the full-time assistant coach, well, assistant manager, and, strength and conditioning guy with us. It's just, I think I would say a lot more professional environment that they've created. We've able to train more and that just means, you know, it's more time spent together as a team and learning to play with each other, really.
And you've got a nice little international flavour going on at Notts County. My fellow Aussie, Caitlin Friend, who you played with at the Victory, Anna Green as well, your fellow Kiwi, and Desiree Scott. Now, unfortunately, Anna's had to leave for injury reasons.
Yeah, it was a real shame about Greenie, but, you know, we've just got to... I guess move on from that and accept it and then, you know, keep moving forward as a team. But loving the internationals, having Skippy there and Desi, who I live with, who's great fun.
So talking about the international flavour, you and getting along with your teammates, you've played a couple of seasons over in Germany and difficult to get past the language barrier?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Unfortunately, it is always a bit of a barrier. You would like to just say that, nah, you'll be fine and you'll be able to click with the girls and everything will be sweet, but it is a lot harder to really kind of gel with your teammates. They're all lovely, lovely girls, but, yeah, just to really, I guess, get to know them and at a deeper level than the hello, how are you, good, which is kind of what it was. You didn't really get that in Germany so much.
And what can we expect for the second part of the WSL season with Notts County? You've had a really strong start, very, very difficult team to play against, difficult to break down and score goals against. What's going to push you onwards and upwards when you come back from this break?
Well, you just have to wait and see. But nah, we've had a lot of draws so far, and so far we're really good at drawing. So we'll be
you love a good draw.
We'll be hoping to, you know, not just kind of settle for that draw and push further and get the wins, because, you know, we're a good team and we deserve to have better outcomes, personally, I think.
And on the international stage, World Cup is next year in Canada. What's your qualifying process?
We have to qualify with the Oceania region, and so we're heading to Papua New Guinea in October for a few games over there. So should be exciting.
Now, my experience when I first was in the Aussie team was qualifying through Oceania, and now that the Aussie girls have moved into Asia, I understand the difficulties and, it's not easy still to qualify through Oceania. And again, we're talking about when you go to some of these countries and you go into Papua New Guinea, out into the regions, you turn up on possibly what is a cow paddock, and it does bring it back to a slighter level playing field. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's always a challenge to go to an island and play over there. But we try to take it as in is that it is a factor, but that's not going to be an excuse for our performance and the effort we put in and win the games. You know, even if we do play on a horrible field, I know that myself and all the other teammates will be giving it 100%. So you'd hope that, you know, would at least get a couple of goals in the back of the net before someone 2 foots it or does a left right because the ball's bouncing up or whatever.
Yeah. I've seen a few of those tackles in those tournaments, so I know what you're talking about. And then all going well and you qualify for the World Cup next year, how have you seen the progression of the New Zealand team from the Olympics and the last World Cup, and what does that mean we're going to see at next year's World Cup?
I'm actually quite excited for what we're going to show the world on the world stage at the World Cup. We haven't really had, last year, 2013, we had a few good results versus the top 10 teams. So far this year, not as well, but we've really put in the hard yards, and I believe the team is going onwards and upwards, and hope that, yeah, we can really show the world that we're what we've made out of.
And what do you think the difference has been in your development as a team? Is it players going overseas and playing in international competitions, or is it just the general depth of the squad these days?
I think it's a bit of a combination, but the main one being with 80% or so playing overseas, gaining that experience and then bringing that into the environment has been pretty awesome. Our coach, Tony Redens, who only got the job a few months before the Olympics, wasn't really able to put in his own tactics before the Olympics. He's been really good. We focus on kind of our own game these days a lot more, which really helps our strengths, and I think that's quite key.
And just going back to the WSL, for Notts County, who of your teammates has really impressed you since you've made the move to Nottingham? And why?
I think that would have to be, it's hard pick because they're all lovely girls. Great, lovely off the field and awesome on the field too. But that would have to be Sophie Bradley, who's actually the captain, Bradders. Mm-hmm. She's probably the nicest person I've ever met, but also she's a great player, and she always give it like everything, and even if she's got like a screwed ankle or a broken rib, she'll still play, and she just plays with so much courage, and I love to see that.
Well, thanks for the chat, Katie. Enjoy your cup of tea. You can have another game of the arcade machine because it is free, but hopefully you'll improve next time.
Thank you very much.
The Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.
We're going to very briefly have a look at what's been going on in Europe. Obviously, there are some leagues that are out of season now, such as Germany and France. But much like England, the Damallsvenskan is currently going on. But they are now in a break themselves. And currently at the top of the league are Rosengard and Örebro, who are currently level on points, although Rosengard do have a game in hand. And Linda Eriksson, my colleague out in Sweden, was recently at a game in Stockholm between AK and, let me get this right, Eskilstuna. Now, if I've said that wrong, I sincerely apologise. But she spoke to Eskilstuna's Ireland international, Louise Quinn, who scored her first goal for the club during their last game. And here she is.
Honestly, we're like a little disappointed with some of the results. You're right, we've had a lot of draws, but you know, at least they're not losses. We're new to this league, so you know, there has been times where we've gone, you know, one goal up as well, and we haven't sometimes kept it. But like, that's the, you know, that's the difference between maybe ourselves and other teams that have been in this league for a few years. They have that experience, you know, of obviously playing together and just knowing what the league is like. But you know, overall, we're very proud of ourselves. We're pleased with how we're doing. Obviously, we would have liked a few more wins, but you know, we're right in the mix, in the middle of the table. And with one win, we can go up to the top of that middle section of the table. So, you know, we'll come back after the break, feeling hopefully energised and ready to go again.
Okay, so that was Louise talking about her current stint out in Sweden with Linda. Now we're going to have a look at some of the transfers that have been going on in Europe. Now some of these are a little bit old, I must confess, but as mentioned, I haven't done a show for a little while, so we're going to talk to Ellen about some of them. Without question, the busiest club has been Paris Saint-Germain. They have picked up Swedish captain Caroline Seger, obviously after Tirso were removed from the Damallsvenskan after their financial problems. So Caroline Seger, a great signing for PSG. Josephine Henning has also joined from the German Bundesliga, from Wolfsburg, a great signing for PSG. And they have also signed keeper Ann-Kathrin Berger from Turbine Potsdam. So that's another useful addition for PSG. But without question, the move that made the most news was that of Fatemir Alushi, who people may remember as Fatemir Bayramay. And she joined PSG from Frankfurt on a salary that is believed to be, or has been reported as, €120,000 a year. Now, I'm not too keen on talking about salaries because I don't really know how people find these things out. However, what did interest me was the backlash that some people were kind of firing in her direction, saying that it was a lot of money, saying that when you look at what Tirso have done with Marta and some of their players and how they've gone bankrupt, that it was silly finances that PSG were throwing. But for me, people are talking about the women's game wanting to try and play at a level of the men's and wanting to be treated the same. So €120,000 a year compared to what Zlatan Ibrahimovic is earning for the men, for example, or what David Luiz is going to be earning after his £40 million move. And let's be honest, that's not exactly looking great business at the moment. For me, wasn't exactly a big deal. But Ellen, I'd be interested to know your views. You play in the women's game. I'm not even going to be rude enough to ask what you earn, and I wouldn't expect you to tell me. But when you heard about Alushi's move and the reported salary, what was your view?
Obviously, I think she must have a very good agent, first and foremost. No, obviously, it's a difficult one, really. Obviously, Tirso, if I've got that right. Obviously, they had a lot of money problems and a lot of players were on a lot of money. So that was obviously difficult, the fact that they're no longer in the league. But if PSG have that amount of money and she's a good enough player, then I don't see why not. But yeah, I think obviously a lot of people are going to have a lot of opinions on money and women's football. And I think just let her football do the talking, really. And if she proves to be that on the pitch, then brilliant. And if they prove to win the league, then even better.
I think that's the thing that makes it more interesting for me. We're talking about PSG. They've got very, very wealthy owners when you look at the amount of money they're spending on the men's team. Why not spend a little bit on the women's team? I think it's a great idea. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's fantastic that they're putting money into the women's game and bringing players in and very good players actually as well. So, no, I think it's fantastic that the owners are looking at the women's team and seeing good things, really, and hopefully it will prove on the pitch, and hopefully they can do well in the league as well, which will be brilliant.
Well, I think that's, for me, one of the most important things, because the French league has been so dominated by Lyon, and you look at how Lyon have done in the Champions League as well. They obviously won another domestic double, winning the league and the French Cup, beating PSG in the final. That's going to make the French league at least a little bit more interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what you want. You want a competitive league. You don't always want someone winning everything. I think in the league, in our league back home, Arsenal were winning everything. So to bring in the FAWSL was brilliant. The fact that kind of it's more competitive, players have been moving around. So each team has got kind of a spread of players and international players as well. So it's definitely going to be more interesting for the French league to have more competition for Lyon.
What have you made of the players from overseas that have come into the WSL? You mentioned the sort of players that have joined the league. Obviously, you've got a few in your team. Katie Hoyle, obviously, we've just heard from. Desiree Scott is another one. Tell me about Desiree, because she kind of came. It was a big move for Notts County and for the league. How she settled in, how she kind of mingled with the rest of the squad.
Yeah, she's great. She's a lot of fun. She brings a lot of banter. And she's a lovely person, very down to earth. And I think she's an amazing player to have around the team. She's hard working, and I definitely want her on my team. So I'm very pleased to have her on my team. I'd love to be able to be playing in the squad with her as well, because she's a very, very good player. She does all the horrible jobs that no one wants to do and kind of probably goes unnoticed, really. So it's fantastic to have her in the squad, and she definitely brings life to the squad and makes it a lot more fun. She's very much kind of Twitter, Instagram, so it's great to have that in the squad.
Notts County's own Mr. Muscle, although nicknamed the Destroyer, I believe. Yeah, the Destroyer. Good name, that. Good name. Like that a lot. But, I mean, I digressed, which I seem to be doing a lot, but one of the questions I asked just before that was your view on sort of the overseas players coming in. And, you know, as an English player, as an England international, not do you see it as a bad thing, because obviously it raises the profile of the league, but does it kind of almost make the English players that are playing in the league have to raise their game to ensure that they're keeping their positions?
Yeah, I think definitely you need to raise your game. The players that have come in are very good players, but it's also interesting to be able to work with different players and know what their philosophies are. And there's kind of Japanese, Koreans, Swedish players. Obviously, we've got Canadians, Australians and New Zealand in Notts County. I think it's really interesting to have kind of their kind of look on football and what they bring to the teams. It's really exciting. And yeah, no, it's definitely to work harder to get your place as well, because they're good players to bring in, and we're very pleased that they've kind of chose to come to Notts County.
Like that answer. Like that a lot. Well, some of the other moves that have taken place in recent weeks. Kathleen Röttger has joined Man City from Rosengard. She's a German defender with a lot of experience, so I'm sure that she will bring a lot of quality to City. This is one that I'm not sure how to pronounce, I'm not going to lie. Turid Kayak, or Nayak, from Bayer Leverkusen has joined Arsenal on loan. I'm almost certain I've pronounced that wrong, so I'm not going to get away with that one, clearly. And Anna Borges, who has joined Chelsea Ladies, who actually scored on her debut for Chelsea against Everton Ladies the other week. So no doubt she's going to prove a useful addition. A couple of non-European moves that have taken place in the last few weeks as well. Bonnie Horwood has left Watford Ladies to go to Reading Women, and joining her at Reading Women, one of your former teammates at Arsenal Ladies, Ellen, Bianca Bragg. What sort of qualities will she bring to Reading?
Yeah, she's very technically gifted. She's quick and a goal scorer as well. So, I think she'll be a great addition to Reading.
Well, we're going to jump. We've just mentioned Bianca there to finish, because she's a young English player and obviously is hoping to make an impact for her new club, Reading. And talking about young English players, Mo Marley has recently announced her England squad for the upcoming Women's Under-20 World Cup, which is taking place in Canada in the next month or so. And rather than going through the whole squad, Ellen, are there any players there that kind of jump out at you and you think, actually, do you know what, this is a really good squad and I'm really pleased to see that player in there?
I think, obviously, Nikita Paris is a big one. She's performed very well this season for Everton. Great goal scorer. Paige Williams has been fighting back from injury as well. Not just picking all Everton players here, by the way. I really love the fact that she's been working hard from an ACL injury to come back, and she's in the squad, which is fantastic. Martha Harris, PFA winner, so great addition to the squad. Lizzie, the goalkeeper, she came to a senior squad with us, and she's definitely a great prospect for the future for the seniors, which is fantastic. But I think it's definitely a strong squad for them, really. Mel Lawley for Birmingham, she's been performing well as well, so I hope they do well out there. The under-20s is a great competition.
I think that's interesting, isn't it? We're talking about players from overseas, and I know that there are some people that have been critical of that. Not many, but only a few. But actually, look at that World Cup under-20 squad. The majority of that team played in the Euro under-19s last year that got to the final. I look at the team that's representing the England under-23s as well. And a lot of the young players that are in Mark Sampson's squad as well, he's obviously keen to give young players a chance. English football is in a good position at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think the structure is great for young players coming through now, and they're definitely getting their chance. If they're playing well and performing well, then they're getting their chance to be picked for England, which is fantastic. You want to be given that chance if you're performing well, and to be given a shirt as well. So, yeah, it's a great squad for the under-20s and the under-19s, and hopefully if they perform well in the next few years, a chance to be in the seniors as well.
What's quite interesting about the Under-20 World Cup as well is that Nigeria are in England's group, and the Nigerian Football Federation has been suspended by FIFA due to government interference, apparently. Now, I'm almost certain that Nigeria will lodge an appeal, but if they don't, or if they are unsuccessful, then Nigeria will be unable to play in England's group. So that will be very interesting to see what happens there, because obviously with Mexico and South Korea, I believe, is the other team in England's group, that will be interesting to see what actually happens there. But to talk more about the Under-20 World Cup is Nikita Paris, because I went up to Finch Farm in Liverpool to speak to her, and I also spoke to her teammate Michelle Hinnigan, who captained the England Under-20s the last time they were in the competition in Germany in 2010. So here they are. Okay, so for the latest edition of the Women's Football Podcast after a short break, I am joined by Everton pair Nikita Paris and Michelle Hinnigan on the day that Nikita has just been called up to the England Women's Under-20 squad. So first of all, congratulations, Nikita. How pleased were you to get the call to be told that you would be going to Canada?
Yeah, I was proper excited. Obviously, Mo told us over the weekend I was in the squad of 35, and then today we found out I was in the squad of 21, which we go out on the 25th of July, so I can't wait for that.
How easy is it, or how hard is it, to keep it quiet? Because you get told over the weekend, you must want to sort of shout it from the rooftops that you're in the 35, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. I tell my sister and my family not to put nothing on Twitter or Facebook, and make sure everything was kept low-key until it was able to come out publicly.
Now, the last time England qualified was back in 2010. They played in Germany. Michelle, you were there. What were your experiences that you can remember of playing in the tournament?
It's an unbelievable experience overall to be involved in a World Cup, and especially in Germany, which I was captain of the team at the time, and it was an unbelievable experience. And I think the advice for all the girls is to just go out there and show everyone the football that you can do, that we know we see day in, day out at Everton, and just go out there and hopefully come back with the gold medal.
How difficult is it to kind of go into a tournament like that, especially for you? You were coming off of the back of the Euro 2009, which you won. Obviously, would have gone into that tournament as, you know, having had a good feeling a good chance coming your way. But it was difficult, wasn't it? Because you're coming up against some really big players in a tournament like that, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. We came away from the Euros as champions, basically, and it's only in Europe. And then you're on a bigger stage, it's the world stage, and you're coming up against brilliant internationals from all over the world. It is hard, but going into that tournament, we were confident. As you said, we won the gold medal, and we had a few injuries that we never let knock us down. But we did go out there and give us our all, but on the end of the day, it wasn't good enough.
You're in the group with South Korea, Mexico and Nigeria, Nikita. Three very different teams that you're going to be coming up against. What are you expecting from them, and how much do you know? Because I'm not going to lie, I know absolutely nothing about any of them.
South Korea, well, they're going to be very technical. They're not going to be the strongest, but they're going to be able to move the ball quickly, one and two touch. Then you've got Mexico, who are going to be strong. They're going to be athletic, but they're going to be able to cope with the heat better than we are, because obviously they're used to it. And then you've got Nigeria, who are just strong and will knock us off the ball at any chance given. And they're going to stifle our game of playing one and two touch, but we're going to give as good as we get, and hopefully we'll get the results against them all.
Now, I looked at the tournament that Michelle played in a few years ago. Players that represented their countries out in Germany, Jennifer Marijan, Kim Kulig, Sidney Leroux, Christy Mewis, all now established full internationals for their country. Do you look at that and think, that's what I want to be aiming for? This is a really important tournament for me, because it is a stepping stone to eventually where I want to be.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, longer term, I'm looking at wanting to go to the World Cup in 2015 with the women's, but obviously I've got to produce a good performance in every single game and get England under-20s to hopefully a quarter-final, semi-final, so that we're competing against the best. But obviously, I only know, out of all them names, she said I only know Sidney Leroux, so, and obviously she's a great player, so hopefully I can make the step like they did. And obviously Tony made the step in from 2010 into the senior, so did Jordan and players like that, so hopefully I can do the same and emulate their movements.
I don't think Michelle's far away from that full squad either, but I mean, for you as captain of the Everton team, Michelle, you must be incredibly proud when you look at that 21 players that were announced today, five of them from Everton. That really does show that the work that, you know, the manager is doing and giving young players an opportunity in this team.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It just shows you the development that we have at Everton Football Club, and for Andy to bring them girls through and give them a chance, for like Gabby George. I think she's only been to a few camps with the 19s and then gets called off for the under-20 World Cup. It's brilliant. And you've got Lizzie and Megan in goal as well that are fighting for the positions here. So it's great to see at Everton Football Club that the youth are actually getting called up, and hopefully they can come back with the gold medal at the end of the day.
And talk to me about the recovery and the determination of Paige Williams. Obviously, she's been announced in that squad, and obviously last year suffered a serious ACL injury. For her to be in that squad, that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
I think that's a dream come true for her, and it just shows you all the hard work that she's put in away from the training ground. And we all know that was her aim to get back for this World Cup, and she's been superb. Every little bit of training she's done inside football and outside as well, and I'm so proud of her to get through to the 20 World Cup squad.
Well, those Everton girls, Nikita, you've been together, you know, in previous tournaments. The Euro under-19s last year was an example. How does it work when the squad gets together? Do you have little pockets around where the Everton girls stick together in one corner and the Liverpool girls all stick together in another? tell me how that works. What's the banter like?
Actually, no, it's not like that. You've got, we all intermix together, but there's always banter about obviously your club team. That's the main focus. But obviously, I'm dreamies with Katie Zellum from Liverpool, and we have a lot of banter together, but the top girls, all of them, and we all get on very well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Everton. At the time of recording, things not going as well as maybe you would like in the league, but it's still very, very early days, and it amazes me. We've just come off of a mid-season break when we're four games into the season, which to me is ridiculous, but I don't make the schedule. Obviously, Michelle, you're captain of the side this season. Have you kind of felt a bit more responsibility, or how much more responsibility have you felt taking on the captaincy after losing a couple of players during the pre-season?
Yeah, I think obviously holding the captain's armband, you do have a lot of responsibility in this season. I've tried to take that all on my chin, but basically it's just to get the girls, keep going, keep the heads up. As you said, we're only five games into the league. We've still got it all to play for, and I know it doesn't look good at the bottom, but I'm confident, and I know that tonight the quality in training is going to be there, and hopefully we can start getting 3 points on the board in the league.
Now, I obviously cover football in other countries as well, and one of the clubs that we sort of paid a lot of attention, Hamish and myself, was Seattle Reign out in the States, and they went through a pretty difficult phase at the beginning of their season last year. But whenever I spoke to Laura Harvey, who's obviously the coach, and Jess Fishlock, who was playing for them at the time and is still playing for them now, they were always telling me, do you know what, despite the fact that we're struggling and that we haven't won a game for a little while, the camaraderie and the atmosphere in the club is still brilliant. We're all working for each other. I mean, is that something that you're noticing in your team as well, Nikita? Is it one of those where you look around and there's no heads dropped? It is a team that is really fighting and working for each other.
Yeah, definitely. I won't allow anyone to drop their heads, because the season's only just started, so if they're dropping their heads now, then they've already given up, and you can't give up at the start of the season. But I think that, yeah, there's only small margins in which we're losing these games. It's not like we're getting absolutely battered, so we have to regroup together and see where the little mistakes are happening, and then we can go again. But I'm confident that we'll come off the bottom of the table, and I'm confident in the whole the girls and everyone in the team that we'll come a long way from where we are now.
I'm conscious of time. I've got your press officer looking at me with beavering eyes, sort of thinking, get on with it. So let's do a little bit of lighthearted stuff. I did it with Jess Fishlock, Kim Little and Laura Harvey, a little bit of insight into the team in Seattle. So let's do something similar with Everton. I want to know a little bit about sort of the jokers in the pack. Who are the ones that kind of mess around? I've got Nikita absolutely creasing up here, so she's clearly got some stories to tell. But seeing as she's giggling away, I'm going to ask Michelle first of all. Jokers in the pack, who are the ones that you can rely on for a bit of banter and a bit of a laugh?
I'd say somebody who thinks they're funny but they're not actually funny, Lindsay Johnson. Definitely. She's like the girl who gives the one-liners, and then she just doesn't mean to be funny, but she's a bit dry. She's got a dry, like...
dry sense of humour.
Yeah, that's one of my humble sense of humour.
We call her Lindsay Lightning. She's not the funniest person in the world, but because she comes out with these one-liners, they just make you laugh, and her facial expressions, they're the worst.
Is that one of the better nicknames in the squad? Is there any players that have got some interesting nicknames because of something funny or something that they do, or anything that's kind of stuck with
them? Michelle Regan is fathead.
Because she's got the biggest head in the world. Erin Jodie.
No, I've measured this fight. My head's not bigger than Jodie's.
Erin Jodie.
She's got the biggest fart ever. We call Jodie fart because it's because the sass Mrs. Primseen. Oh, Alex. Mrs. Primseen.
Alex Greenwood.
Yeah. I think, yeah, you know why, obviously.
Right. Give her a piece of chicken and some sweet potato and she's happy. She's a happy girl.
Gabby George, we call her Gabby a Bon Lahore or Kim Kardashian.
Not even going to ask about that one. Who's the player that probably gets picked on a little bit more because of stuff that you've mentioned, Lindsay Johnson, because of some of the things that she comes...
Paige Williams. She is honestly one of a kind, let's just say that. Because some of the things she comes out with, I'm shocked.
In terms of maybe most skillful player that is maybe the one that wants to show off the tricks on the pitch.
McMess. Michelle Linnegan, that's why she gets called.
I've got no skills.
That's why she gets called McMess. She's honestly one of the best people I've seen on the ball. Honestly, like, a vision, awareness and a touch. No one better than
I've paid her to say that.
But honestly,
I give you that
it's
talent.
It's called McMessy.
Are there any players that aren't from the Liverpool area that try and put on a Scouse accent? Are there any that have mastered it, that try and sort of mock you guys, that have managed to kind of pull it off? Or is there any accents that you guys try and mock?
I try and do Salmon's and I just can't do it. I try and do the Irish one, but it just fails every time.
Okay. Keats?
No, I struggle with the Scouse accent, so I ain't going to try anybody else's.
See, what's the Scottish one? Go on.
No,
go on.
Can't.
Go on. See your best Irish one.
Why are you, mate?
What was that? The Scouse Irish Scottish.
Scouse Irish Scottish Geordie. I think there was probably a little bit in there. Do you know what? I think YA man is probably the best way to finish the interview. Definitely. And I'm also looking at the time as well. And I know the girls have got training. But thank you very much. Keats, congratulations again on being called up to the World Cup squad. And both of you, I do genuinely wish you the best for the rest of the season. I've spoken to Andy a number of times, one of the nicest people that I've met in women's football. And I know that he's doing great work with the young players here. So genuinely wish you both the very best.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks a lot.
The Women's Football Podcast.
Follow the podcast on Twitter
at WFPod.
Okay, so that was Nikita and Michelle talking seriously and also taking the mick out of each other as well. So I think it would be fair to say that having mentioned the Under-20 World Cup and the England team, it would be a good time to go onto the senior side. They obviously have a friendly against Sweden at the start of August. Mark Sampson named a squad of about 150 players. No, being serious, it's about 30-odd. Now, Ellen, you've got the squad in front of you initially. Who are the players? Well, there's a few players, actually, you were talking to me about beforehand that jump out at you. Do you want to tell me who they are?
Yeah, I think, obviously, it's fantastic to see Claire Rafferty back in the squad, not because she's a really good friend.
But... And your bridesmaid, because you are getting married later this year, aren't you?
Yes, and my bridesmaid. Thanks for bringing that up. but, yeah, no, she's worked really hard. Obviously, coming back from kind of three ACLs is an major kind of achievement. But no, she's a fantastic player, and I'm really pleased for her that she's back in the squad. Joe Potter worked really hard, had a good season last season, but is having a great season as well. Fantastic left foot as well. I think she was probably the best player on the pitch against us at the weekend. Kind of just pings balls for fun, really. She's got great technique and scores fantastic goals as well. She's kind of their kind of game changer, really, in the middle of the park. So it's fantastic to see her back, and Dan Carter as well. She's a great player. I think she played really well in the FA Cup final just before the break. So it's really great to see her in the squad as well.
I think Jo Potter was the one that really leapt out at me. Obviously, she's been in the England squad in years prior, but hasn't been involved for quite some time. Completely agree about Claire Rafferty. It's always good to see a player really battle back from serious injuries, but she's got some competition since going away with injury, because she's now got Alex Greenwood and Demi Stokes to compete with, so some good competition in that left back position, isn't there?
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of lefties in the squad, which we haven't had for a number of years. So, yeah, no, it's great to have competition. Obviously, Demi's been playing a lot of the games, and Alex Greenwood, obviously, she got on at the last game. No, it's definitely great to have competition within the squad and to see kind of different options as well for Mark. But, yeah, no, I'm definitely a fan of Claire, though.
Previous left back, you mentioned a sort of a lack of lefties. Steph Horton played left back for quite some time, didn't she? And actually played in that position during the Olympics. Another good friend of yours. How pleased were you, and how do you think she's managing the role as captain at the moment?
Yeah, no, I was kind of so pleased and proud, and I can't think of anyone better really to be England captain. And yeah, she kind of leads by example. Really, she's down to earth, a lovely person. So, yeah, I think she's handled it really well. She's very good in front of the camera, and she's very good at talking. And, yeah, no, obviously it's a massive thing to be captain of your country. There's a lot of responsibility, but I think she's kind of taken it in her stride and taken kind of one day at a time, really. The fact that she's kind of captain Arsenal and she's captain of Man City obviously bodes well for her as well. So, no, I think she's doing a great job so far.
Agreed, totally. I really rate Steph, and it was a lovely opportunity to meet her when I went up for Manchester City Women's launch at the start of the year. A few other names that kind of leap out for me: Gemma Davison is obviously involved. Anita Asante, I think, has been not in the last few squads that I can remember. I'm possibly wrong on that one. Jodie Taylor and Leanne Sanderson. Obviously, Leanne has been involved in the last few games. Jodie has not been involved in the last few squads since she was unable to make the camp in La Manga in February. And talking about Leanne and Jodie brings us nicely onto the NWSL. And Ellen, I've got to talk to you about Seattle Reign. Now, I know that people that listen to this show regularly will be like, for God's sake, Kieran, you go on about Seattle Reign all the time. We know that you follow them. We know you went out to Seattle to watch them. We know you interviewed this player and that player. But the reason I want to talk to Ellen about Seattle Reign is because they are currently 16 games undefeated at the start of the season. Now, for a player that's been used to being in a winning side at Arsenal, tell me how impressive it is. Because if we're honest, 16 games in the WSL, there are only 14 games in WSL. That would be the whole season undefeated, wouldn't it?
It's rubbish, really. No, it's fantastic. I've been kind of watching a few of the games and keeping my eye on their results. So, yeah, no, I think it's pretty unbelievable, really. Laura Harvey's definitely made some great signings this year. And I think Kim's obviously a massive signing for them. So, yeah, no, it's unbelievable to be 16 games undefeated. And I hope they continue it, really.
What sort of mentality does it take to kind of go on that sort of stretch? Because you've obviously got teams that are gunning to try and beat you even more so. It's frustrating for opposition players when they know they're coming up against a team that hasn't lost all season and they may be coming off the back of a defeat or, you know, haven't been playing so well lately. But for you as a player in a winning side, how do you kind of overcome those challenges?
Yeah, obviously coming from Arsenal when everyone wants to beat you, it's obviously difficult. I think from the last game, Seattle Reign, I think Laura Harvey was saying that kind of Kim was being man-marked, and I think that's what a lot of teams will be doing. So, yeah, I think every team will be wanting to beat them, and obviously if they do go 1-0 down, then they've got that resilience to come back fighting. But it is difficult. You do feel a little bit of pressure, the fact that everyone wants to beat you, still undefeated, and it is hard at times, but you're going to take each game as it comes, really, and still work hard and obviously freshen up the squad as well, bringing in players that have got fresh legs, and Rapinoe coming back will obviously be massive for them. So, yeah, I think it's a fantastic achievement, and hopefully they can continue it, really.
Obviously, when you played at Leeds, you won the FA Women's Premier League Cup in, I think it was 2007. It was in the late 2000s. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm failing miserably here. 2008. Ellen's telling me it's 2008, so I've got that one wrong. That's a black mark next to my name. But obviously, you were playing in a side, it was a very talented side, but again, a side that was maybe a little bit of an underdog in that competition. So for the rest of the NWSL that's trying to catch Seattle and trying to sort of end that winning streak, what sort of things do you think the players are trying to do and what the coaches are trying to say to them at the moment?
It's a difficult one, really. It's going to be hard because obviously they're going to be trying to man mark their best players, the likes of kind of Sydney and Jess Fishlock and Kim. So
it's just endless, isn't it?
I know, it's ridiculous. And so but you can't do that all game. So I think it's just all about hard work, and if you get that one chance, you've got to be clinical with them. You can't have kind of three or four chances and only put one away, because they're scoring goals for fun as well. So yeah, I think it's about being very structured and very organised, and having a great kind of organised back four or back five or back three, whatever they've chosen. But yeah, it's about being organised and disciplined and hard working, and if you get those chances, to be very clinical.
Well, they're certainly riding their luck as well. They have had a few late scares, and I know that in their last game against Boston, they had to come from behind, and they've had to come from behind in a few games. Just a couple of notes out of the NWSL. Randy Waldrum, the Houston Dash coach, has actually just taken on a joint role. He is now the head coach of the Houston Dash and has also now taken over the head coaching role at Trinidad and Tobago women's team. So that is going to be interesting, because I must confess, I don't really know much about Caribbean football, but I would imagine that that is a hell of a coup for the Trinidad and Tobago women, having an experienced coach like that. And the other piece of news to come out of the NWSL was this week with striker Melissa Henderson, who has been traded to the Houston Dash. And in exchange, FC Kansas City will receive a third round pick. Ellen, I'm interested to know what your views are on trades and draft picks and things like that, because obviously we don't have that over here in England. When you see things like that going on, where you might walk into your club one day and the coach turns around to you and says, "I'm really sorry, Ellen, we've decided to trade you to," let's use England, for example, "we've decided to trade you to Liverpool Ladies, and in return, we're getting one of their players," and you don't really have a lot of say in that. What do you think it's like for a player when they have that happen to them?
Yeah, I think I spoke to Nitra Asante a little bit about it. She got moved around quite a lot when she was in America, and she found it a little bit weird to go from Sky Blue to another team. And yeah, she found it quite difficult. For the American players, I think they've got a lot more understanding of it, the fact kind of basketball and college, and I think that happens in a lot of the men's games. But yeah, for me personally, it's very confusing. I think Laura Harvey tried to explain it to me quite a few times. I was like, "I have no idea what you're going on about." She's like, "Right, I'm going to trade her for her, and then I'm going to get her back, and then I'm going to get a third pick." It was very confusing. But obviously, for a manager who wants the players they want, they've got to draft and get the players that they want. But yeah, it'd be very strange to go in one day and then be like, "Nope, you're off, see you later," and you don't have any choice, you don't have any kind of say in it. So it'd be very strange.
Laura is the queen of the trades. There is actually a website called HasLauraHarveyMadeATradeToday.com. So,
wow.
Which was started at the beginning of the season when she was trading left, right and centre. But yeah, I think it's an interesting concept. I've been following the US game for the last few years now, and I still find it fascinating. But that will conclude our NWSL roundup. Sorry, guys, I haven't watched as much recently as I would like to. And when we come back, Ellen, it's over to you, because you are going to take some of our listeners' questions from Twitter.
The Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.
Okay, so now it's Ellen under the spotlight as she takes some of your questions. We were asking you the last few days to send your questions in via Twitter, and some of you have responded. So thank you very much to those who did send in your questions. So let's fire away, Ellen. The first question came in from Kerry Smith, and she said, "Do you miss playing football, and how is your knee?"
Yeah, I'm missing it quite a lot now, actually. The fact that I can now kick a football is pretty amazing. When my physio kind of brought out football, I think I can't jump around, but inside I was jumping around like, hooray, I can actually kick a football again. So that was nice. Yeah, my knee's coming along slowly. Thanks for asking. Just a lot of rehab, really. I'm back on the bike, which is good. So yeah, I think I'm just being really patient, being diligent, and yeah, hopefully back playing soon.
Are you putting a time frame on when you're hoping to be back, or is it a case of wait and see?
I think for personally, I was thinking kind of pre-season, really. That would be kind of the end of the kind of 9 month kind of period. So yeah, I think that's kind of realistic. But if it's before, if it's after, I'm not gonna kind of cry about it. Just going to kind of take each day as it comes, and I just want it to be perfect, really, and longevity in playing, really. So yeah, I don't want to rush it. I don't want it to not be as I want it to be. So yeah, just taking my time.
Okay, next question came in from Kirsten, and she asked, "What do you think about Kim Little's impact on the NWSL? As an ex-teammate and friend, you must be very proud of her."
She's awful at football. Yeah, great words, really. Very, very proud of her. I've texted her a good few times and saying how proud I am and how well she's been doing. And yeah, I think it's great to see kind of people recognising, the world recognising kind of Kim Little and what she's about. She's such a lovely person. She's doing fantastic out there. I've watched quite a few games now, so it's fantastic to see her scoring and the team winning. So yeah, a lot of pride.
Obviously, Kim playing out in the NWSL, doing very well, and that fits in nicely with Tiffany's question asking, would you ever consider playing in the US?
I've been asked this question quite a few times, actually. I wouldn't say no, obviously. I would obviously think about it, weigh up the options. But yeah, no, it's definitely something to think about, and it's always nice to be asked to be kind of to play overseas and to be wanted in a different team. But I'm pretty happy at Notts County at the moment.
Okay, fair point. Very diplomatic answer as well, Ellen, having not long joined Notts County ladies. Just a ball game asked, who is the toughest defender you have come across in the English game and internationally? What made them hard to play against?
Cool, that's a difficult question, actually. I think when I was playing Fern, Whelan was always a difficult player to play against. She's always kind of legs and arms, very lanky. I haven't played against Steph Horton yet, but I think she'll be a difficult defender. It's always hard to play against Claire Rafferty as well, playing against someone that you know. Let me think, who else?
What about internationally? What about when you've played for England, like players from other countries? Or maybe even Arsenal in the Champions League?
Yeah, no, that's it. I think Renard for Lyon when we played them in the Champions
She's
League.
She's big, isn't she?
I literally could not get the ball. I was like looking at my manager like, why can I not get the ball? She just gets it all the time. She's tall, she's strong, she's quick. To be fair, I did take her out in a challenge in the World Cup in 2011. Yeah, I slide tackled and got there a bit late, so she wasn't too happy about that. But I got it back a little bit from when I played her in the Champions League. But yeah, she's definitely a big international player that's definitely hard to play against.
Chopped her down, Ellen. Good and proper. Chopped her down. And a booking to match as well. Holly Allen asked, where is your favourite place you visited because of football?
Japan. I think, well, to be given the chance to go to such an amazing country was an honour, really. We got the chance to go there with Arsenal, and they're unbelievable people. So lovely, so hospitable. It's clean. Oh, it's an amazing place to be. And yeah, I'd love to go back. The culture, everything about it was amazing. Also Germany, to be fair, for the World Cup, for the experience, and the fact that we got to travel around and got to see a lot of places. That was a great place to be as well.
And those brilliant video diaries that were put together as well that I seem to remember.
Wow, that sarcasm is best.
That wasn't sarcasm. I thought they were good. No, they were fun. Melissa asks, best piece of advice you have ever received?
That's a good question, actually. I think work hard, really. Listen to your coaches, teachers, and yeah, just work hard and hopefully you'll reap the rewards, really. So yeah, it's all about hard work.
Darren Gillam asks, never good to be injured, but has it been more frustrating having changed clubs and not being able to show fans what you can do?
Yeah, I think it's obviously disappointing to have not even played a league game. Obviously I played quite a few games in pre-season. Yeah, I was kind of scoring goals then, so yeah, no, it's disappointing not to be playing the season, but the girls seem to be doing pretty well. But I'm looking forward to coming back next season and hopefully proving my worth and looking forward to wearing a Notts County shirt.
Penultimate question comes from Thrace, who asks, most audacious strike you have ever attempted in a game? Now, the one that I've seen you do was the goal against Japan in the World Cup in 2011, which was audacious, but it came off because it was an amazing goal. But can you think of any others?
There was actually the bicycle kick in the same game that I tried, and I don't know how the goalie saved it either. I think I would have quit football then. I would have hung up my boots. She tipped it onto the bar and everything. That would have been my most audacious strike if that had gone in, but it wasn't. You kind of stole my one that I was going to say, Japan. What other ones have I done?
I'll do. That's all right. You don't have to rack your brain too much. I've stolen your thunder already, so okay. I might as well.
Thanks.
Final question is from a friend of mine, Kath Hall, who asked, if you had the power to change one thing to raise the profile of women's football to young girls and the public, what would you do?
Thanks for the easy question.
I think it's a difficult one, really. The fact that it's growing more and more is fantastic already. But obviously, funding and more children and girls being aware of the different kind of schools and different clubs that are available. But yeah, to be more in the media and more funding, and I think that would be a major improvement for the whole of the women's game. But it's definitely improving since I was a child, and it's great to see so many girls that are enthusiastic and loving playing football. So I think that's the main thing, that they enjoy it, love it. But yeah, to get it out there more, and for more girls to be able to be involved in clubs and grassroots football.
I guess my question to try and finish this off would be, Canada 2015 next year, you mentioned that you're kind of aiming for pre-season as your kind of return. Is that the ultimate goal now, to try and get in that squad? Because obviously you've played in 2011, you've played in 2013. I guess the next step for you now is to try and get in Mark Sampson's plans before, you know, that squad is announced.
Yeah, no, 100% really. I think first and foremost is to get fit and to be playing well with Notts County. But yeah, that's a major goal. The amount of support that Canada get for their football team is unbelievable, really. So it'll be such an amazing competition. The fact that I went to the 2011 World Cup and got to play, I didn't think I would. So yeah, that experience was second to none, really. Probably one of the best kind of football experiences that I've ever had. So and the amount of people that are in the stadiums was so good. So that's definitely in my sights, hopefully. But yeah, just got to get fit, really.
Download and subscribe to the show on iTunes.
Just search for Women's Football Podcast.
Okay, so that was Ellen White answering your questions that you tweeted in. Now, for this part of the show, for those that follow the Premier League and follow women's game, will have seen that Julian Dix, the former West Ham United and Liverpool defender, was recently named as the West Ham Ladies manager, and we now have him on the phone. Julian, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
So if we start off by asking how it was that you came to get the West Ham Ladies job, that would be great.
Stacey Little, the captain, put on Twitter that if they think Julian Dix should manage the West Ham Ladies, retweet it. And to be honest, I retweeted it, so it went on from there, really.
But obviously from a tweet going out to you actually getting the job, how did the process work?
Well, I spoke to the chairman, and that was it. He offered me the job, and we went from there. So I said, I've coached the girls the last three Sundays, but officially we started last Tuesday.
Hi, Julian, it's Ellen.
Hiya.
So I was just wondering, why women's team?
One, because it's West Ham. Obviously, I have a great love for the club. But I've been coaching in America for the last 3 years, and I've been coaching ladies and girls out there. And to be honest, I've really enjoyed it.
Can you give us a bit of background on the sort of teams and the players that you've been working with in the States? Obviously, the game's quite big over there, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it wasn't into clubs. It was just it was like there were summer camps, and it was like universities. And like I said, it was in North Carolina. So like I said, the last three years. I've been out there for 6 or 7 weeks just coaching.
So the pull of West Ham must be quite big then for you to give up the life in North Carolina to come back to East London.
I didn't give it up. I went out there for 6 or 7 weeks in the summer to coach. So I still do my coaching over here as well.
Okay, and what are your sort of hopes and ambitions for the club? Obviously playing in the Southern Premier League, is the aim to try and win that, and obviously there's opportunities in the future. We believe that the FAWSL is being expanded. Is the ultimate sort of ambition to get West Ham in there?
Well, of course. I mean, at the end of the day, you go into football, you have to be ambitious. I'm not saying it's going to happen straight away, but the idea is that to progress this season and see where we go. Listen, I'm new into the ladies' games, so it's going to take me a while to get used to it, but I'm an ambitious person. I want to go as far as I can with West Ham Ladies.
Will you be working like quite closely with the men's team as well? Will there be quite a lot of contact, and will they be kind of helping out? Will we be using kind of similar facilities and that type of thing?
No. At the end of the day, I would love to, but again, I play how I want to play, but I will have nothing to do with West Ham's men's team and vice versa.
I know that you've had your first training sessions in the last week. What have you made of the squad that you've got at your disposal?
There's some good players. There's some very fit players and not so fit players. I think I would fall into that category. But listen, they're honest. You know what I mean? They do work hard. They don't whinge. They don't moan, which is nice.
And what about the sort of opportunities that you're hoping to create for them? Obviously, you've got a lot of experience in the men's game. What's the main thing that you're hoping to teach them?
For me, football is a simple game. It's just about passing that ball. But again, you don't achieve nothing without hard work. And that's what I said to them at the end of the day. Football is about hard work, first and foremost. If you haven't got a work ethic, then nothing's going to happen for you. But luckily enough, my girls do. Like I said, I've coached them for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and they've been really good, very positive.
And what about some of the managers that you worked under? You worked under some big names. What sort of things do you hope to bring to your management style that you perhaps learned from them?
Well, I've managed at Grays in Wivenhoe anyway. And again, as I said to the girls, I would treat them like professional footballers. Now, again, like I said, I like my players to work hard. And we all have bad games. We all make mistakes. That's a part of football. But as long as they work hard, I'll have no problems with them.
Now, I've got to ask, unfortunately, there was some bad news that came out of the club with the news that Katie Shepherd sadly passed away in the last couple of weeks. I just wondered how the players have responded to that and how sort of, you know, the atmosphere at the club is like at the moment.
Obviously, it's a very sad time. I mean, I didn't know Katie, but the girls obviously very upset. We were in last Sunday, and some of the girls were quite close to us, so it was a difficult time. But they're coping. They're okay.
And I guess that's added motivation to try and do well this season, to try and sort of play well in her memory.
Yeah, it's different people take it in different ways. There were some girls obviously very upset. But again, there's some girls that just put a bit extra in. Obviously, like I said, it's very, very sad news. It's such a young age as well.
I guess my final question would be, what is the sort of the early impressions of the women's game? You said earlier that you're new to it. What are your early impressions and what do you hope to achieve going forward?
My early impressions are there's like West Ham ladies. I mean, there's some good players there. I think they need to be coached a bit better. Last season wasn't a great season for them, but again, there's a nucleus of good players. And so the coaching is down to me. It's down to me to make them better as a team. And like I said, just to progress them, really. I mean, they finished one from bottom, but again, I'm not saying this. I want to finish two from bottom. I want to finish high as I can. And again, but I can't do that on my own, and nor can the girls. So we have to work together as a team. And when I say as a team, I mean like every single player that we all want to win, whether you play or sub, whether you get substituted, whether you're not in the team, we all have to stick together. So me, that's the only way we can achieve anything.
The Women's Football Podcast,
shining a light on the women's game.
Okay, so that was Julian talking about his new role at West Ham United Ladies, and we obviously wish him the very best. And believe it or not, that brings us to the end of the show. And the first thing I have to do is to thank Ellen, especially as the fact that she drove over to my house to record this show, which I think shows the dedication that she has to the women's game off the pitch as well as on it. So Ellen, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And obviously, one of the things I would like to plug while I have Ellen here, she does have her own blog on the Sky Sports website. So please do check that out. It's a great read. So make sure you have a look. Just a couple of things to rattle off before we finish. If you wish to follow us on Twitter or on @WFPod, if you wish to listen to the show online, we're on audioboo.fm/WFPod. You can also download us on iTunes. The WF blog has now closed, I'm afraid. I haven't got time to keep that going, but I will see if there are other projects that I can launch in the future. And for American listeners, I would advise that you keep an ear out for an announcement next week. I will be doing something to mark the 15th anniversary of the 99ers, of course, the US women's national team that won the World Cup in 1999. So keep an ear out for that, and I will speak to you all in a couple of weeks.
The Women's Football Podcast,
shining a light on the women's game.